Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Stars Opinion, the Christian perspective. This is the podcast. If you are here from YouTube, welcome. If you are not here from YouTube, I will leave my link below to my YouTube channel, which is Stars Conversations. And that's where we will have conversations about biblical principles. So do not forget to like, comment, and subscribe. So today I want to talk about a few things. I'm going to name this podcast basically half-hearted relationships, and two things. I wanted to discuss the viral video of the pastor who said he had experienced hell and God's message to him, and then also my time and my studying of 2 Kings and chapter 13. So first I am going to go ahead and play the clip that the pastor said of his experience in hell and what that was like, and then I'll come back with the second part of my commentary and also what God has revealed to me reading 2 Kings. Okay, so go ahead and take a listen.
Oh, is it true that you saw hell?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I saw the real hell. I was there. And I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. I don't care what a person has done to me. I would never wish that on them. But for me, the way it went is that I thought that I was having a heart attack. And my spirit left my physical body. And I thought that I was going upward, but because I thought I had done so much good in this lifetime and helped so many people and made so many decisions that were godly decisions, but as opposed to me going up, I went down, and I went literally into the center of the earth, and that's where hell is. Jesus even said that in the scriptures. He says, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, which is where hell is. The things that I saw were literally indescribable, and just makes me emotional every time I talk about it, but one of the things that I saw that just blew me away was there's a man on all fours like a dog. He was burned from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, and his eyes were bulging out. And what was worse than that is that he had a chain around his neck. So he was like a dog in hell. And what was even worse than that is that who was holding the chain? It was a demon holding the chain. And I knew, because their things are not, they're not said, they're known. It's like a telepathic communication. I knew that this demon was sent in this man's life to ride him from his childhood until the time that he died, because the demon knew that if I could stay in his life long enough on the earth, if I can keep getting him to not serve God and to make bad decisions on the earth, then I'll have power over him in hell, and he'll be a slave to me. So it's like twice a slave. It's like you're a slave on the earth to the things of the devil, and then in hell you're really like a tormented dog slave. And then there was another part that I experienced that just blew me away. It still baffles me to this day. There was a section in hell where music was playing, and it was the same music that we hear on the earth, but as opposed to entertainers singing it, the music, demons were singing it. And it was some of the same lyrics that we hear here. And then again, things, like I said, things are telepathically known there. I knew that on earth, a lot of the lyrics and the music and the songs are inspired by demons. So sometimes when people smoke to get high and to get lyrics and to get verses and rappers and all those things. So in a lot of music, people actually smoke to get high, to get verses and to get bars and to be hot and to be fresh and to get that swag. But when they open themselves up to a false high, it's like illegal access into the spirit realm. They actually come in contact with demons who give them lyrics for the purpose of controlling people on the earth. So here, music is for like to get over a breakup. Don't worry, be happy. I busted windows out your car or under my umbrella or whatever. There, every lyric to every song is to torment you as to the fact that you didn't worship God through music when you were on the earth. So it's like, you know, you had a chance to worship him in church and worship him at home and worship him through music, but you chose to worship Satan by repeating the lyrics that he inspired to come into the earth. So there's people there for that because music is very controlling. And I was angry with God because it's like, how did I do this much good? And I'm actually in hell. Well, I lifted up out of hell. And I came back on the earth and God began to speak to me. I actually saw the real Jesus. I saw him and he began to speak to me. And he said, you have been secretly upset with the people that hurt you. You have been hoping that I would punish the people that hurt you. He said, these are not your people. These are my people. He says, I only want you to focus on the assignment that I'm giving you because I want to do something through you that the world hasn't seen. And so, the root of it is that although I did good, I gave a lot to people, I did a whole lot of good things, the thing that I had in my heart was unforgiveness towards people who had did me wrong. Because a person that can't forgive is a person that's forgotten how much they have been forgiven of. So that's my experience with hell. Hell is a real place, and I don't believe that God doesn't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell. And whatever's still left inside of you that God has been trying to get out of you that you die with, that's going to determine where you go. God's going to want to know, did you learn to love well? Did you learn to forgive well? Did you serve me well? Did you do something greater than your life? Did you do anything that has eternal significance or is everything selfish? So I thank God for the light. It was Jesus. Because of that light, I won't see any more days in hell.
All right, so he gave his account of his experience. He had a heart attack in 2016 and pretty much God took him to hell because of his unforgiveness and also just to pretty much give him a message for the masses of the world. So we can be warned and repent and follow God. And I believe it's right in step into what God has revealed to me in 2 Kings is, you know, we have half-hearted relationships with God. He expressed in the video that even though he was doing these good deeds, that he had unforgiveness in his heart. So it wasn't just enough to do good deeds or believe that there is a God, but he had unforgiveness. So I always like to back up whatever anyone says with the word of God. I go to my Bible and I read. And one of the things that he said is that because even though he was doing all these good deeds or doing all these good works, he had unforgiveness for people in his heart and he did not forgive them. So if we read the Lord's Prayer, which is in Matthew chapter 6, but we're going to go down to verse 14 more specifically, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your father would not forgive your sin. So that's pretty much what he said, is that he had unforgiveness and he didn't forgive those who sinned against him. So God didn't forgive him. And him being a pastor at that, he is held to a higher standard and morale because he is essentially leading God's flock to worship God in spirit and in truth. So for him to not be able to forgive those who have hurt him, God was like, well, I'm not going to forgive you of your sins. So, but because God loved us so much and he's so gracious and he's kind and he's long-suffering, he knew that this was the way for him to be able to bring this pastor to realization, like, hey, I love you and I know that you're trying to serve me with all your heart, but you must do one of my most important commands, and that is to forgive those who sin against you so I can forgive you. And he had to let this pastor experience hell to really come to grips with that. And also the pastor said that you know, a lot of people say that they know God or they love God, but they're not doing the things that God wants them to do. They're not listening to godly music. They're not doing or serving God the way God wants them to serve God. The Bible says that we must do the will of the Father to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that we should seek God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our souls. And that we should love God with all of our mind and all of our hearts and all of our souls. So that is the greatest commandment, is to love God with all of your heart. So if we have these half-hearted relationships with God, we are only doing a disadvantage to ourselves. And we are damning ourselves to essentially eternal death, because we are not completely and totally committed to serving God the way that he should and needs to be respected, and the way that he should be served. If we claim that we love God, that we know that God is real and we know that he exists, but our lifestyle does not show that. So I was in the book of 2 Kings chapter 13, and I'm going to go ahead and read that. It's about the king Jehoash. And if you read through the books of 2 Kings, or the chapters, I should say, that you know that Jehoash was not as consistent or persistent in his walk with Christ. And, oh, not with Christ, but with God, you know. God is in Christ, but at this point with God. And what I came to the realization is that, you know, in this year, as you guys listen to my previous podcast, is that the Lord had told me that this is the year of consistency and growth, you know, growing in that consistency. And Jehoash, he did not live consistently. He was inconsistent. He wasn't persistent, even though he saw the path of God, of what God wanted him to do through the prophet Elijah. He was just not consistent in that. He respected God, he acknowledged God for who he was, but he just was not consistent. So I'm going to go ahead and read 2 Kings chapter 13, and then we're going to go ahead and read it. I'm going to start from verse 15. Elisha told him, "Get a bow and some arrows." And the king did as he was told. Elijah told him, "Put your hand on the bow." And Elijah laid his hands on the king's hands. He commanded, "Open the eastern window." And he opened it. Then he said, "Shoot." So he shot an arrow. Elijah proclaimed, "This is the Lord's arrow, and an arrow of victory over Aram. For you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek." Then he said, "Now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground." So the king picked them up and struck the ground 3 times. But the man of God was angry with him. "You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times," he exclaimed. "Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only 3 times. So the prophet had told the king, Jehoash, to, like, look, you know, this is the arrow of victory. God has proclaimed that you are going to be victorious over these people. And when he told him to pick up the other arrows and shoot, and he only shot three times, I'm going to assume or imagine that he had more than three arrows, but he just decided to stop at three. So that's why the prophet was mad. And how many times did God tell us to do something and we do it pretty much just halfway, or, you know, we think, oh, that's just good enough, but God, you know, God tell us to go 10 miles, but we only go 5 miles, and we start to get a little glimpse of the glory that God is allowing us to have through him, and we decide, oh, that's just enough. You know, we're not being consistent. We're not being persistent in what God has commanded us to do. So that's why the prophet was mad at him. I mean, it's all day long we can say out of our mouth and we can give lip service that we respect and we honor God. But if we're not serving him, what does that mean? You know, how many times have we stopped short at the glory that God has promised us because we didn't go all the way? And then we have stopped and we should have just pressed on, and we say, well, that's not going to hurt me, and we can tolerate evil, and then we allow that evil to rise up and destroy us. You know, half-hearted efforts do not bring victory over the enemy. And as that pastor said, that he was doing his good deeds, he was preaching the word of God, but he was not forgiving those people who had sinned against him. So that means that he couldn't love them the way Christ wanted him to love them. He didn't forgive them, so his heavenly father didn't forgive him because he didn't forgive those people who did him wrong. And then, you know, we can acknowledge God, but if we don't serve him, none of the acknowledgement, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't count. It's really only an indictment against you. It's like evidence against you that, okay, you know who God is. You know how powerful he is, but you refuse to commit yourself completely to him. Like, we have to commit ourselves completely and wholly to God to be able to be in right standing with God, you know. And I would like to read Luke chapter 12, verses 47. It says, a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. So in case of that pastor, you know, he has been given much. So, you know, much was required of him. And for him to be a pastor and hold unforgiveness in his heart, God's grace was through that heart attack to take him to the place of hell to show him, like, this is what my word says. And if you don't let go of that unforgiveness in your heart, I can't forgive you of your sins, no matter how many good deeds that you do. So, you know, that goes for us as well, just not for the pastor, but it goes for us as well, that we have to be able to serve God completely and wholly. You know, we can't just say that we want to love God and serve God and serve people, but then turn around and not forgive those who have done us wrong, because God has forgiven us. God has made a way where we can be in right standing with him. So how can we not extend that grace to people who have done us wrong? You know, let God deal with that person. But as for me, or as for believers and Christians, forgive that person, love that person, You know, God is going to reward you for keeping his commands and loving people the way that he wants you to love them. He wants you to be an example of who he is. Remember, God is love. So if we forgive those who have wronged us, and if we need help to forgive those people who have deeply wronged us or who have deliberately hurt us, then we can go to the Father and ask him to help us forgive this person, because the way they hurt me was so bad, it's hard for me to forgive. Be honest with God, you know, and admiration and respect is not enough for God to say, okay, you're in right standing, if it means that we are not serving or committed to God. That's what counts. Are we serving God with our whole hearts? Are we committed to his ways and the way that he wants us to go? A lot of people, again, like I said, they like to say, I know God, I love God, I know he's real, God is, you know, X, Y, and Z, but it's all just lip service. You know, James chapter 2 even says that. So let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? So it's not enough for us just to give lip service and say that we know that God is real, or we know that there's one God, because even the demons believe that. So what does it mean just to say that you believe that God is real, but you don't act like or live like God is real? You're not loving people the way God wants you to love people. You're not forgiving people the way God wants you to forgive people. What does it mean? What does it all mean if you are not actually fully committed to do what God says? And that was the issue with Jehoash. He was inconsistent. He respected and he acknowledged God, but he wasn't consistent in his walk, which is why the prophet was so upset with him and said, why did you only hit it 3 times? You could have hit it 5 or 6 times and you would have completely destroyed your enemy. But because you only did it 3 times, you only believed God for a little bit, or you only believed God until you thought it was enough. You're only gonna win over them or have victory over them 3 times when you could have complete victory over them. For us to have complete victory in this walk of Christ, we must be committed to God completely and wholeheartedly. We don't want to have a half-hearted relationship, even in our personal lives, when it comes into relations with each other. Do you want to be with someone who is half-hearted leave with you? You want that person, whether it's a romantic relationship or whether it is a friendship, you want them, their hearts to be completely unto you. And God is saying the same thing. He wants our hearts to be completely unto him. He doesn't want a half-hearted relationship, because again, even in our personal relationship, whether romantic or whether platonic, you know, if a person tells people, oh, yes, they admire us and they respect us, or they say that they respect us, but then behind closed doors or their actions say something else, that doesn't mean anything, because it's just lip service. And God is saying that don't just give me lip service, but give me your hearts. Give me your commitment. Give me your consistency. And in that consistency, you can grow. So our half-hearted efforts would never bring total victory in our lives. And this is why sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes that we go through these life trials and we don't have complete victory, because we have half-hearted relationships and half-hearted faith when it comes to believing and trusting God at His will. And remember, the Bible tells us to acknowledge God in all of our ways, and He will make our path straight. So I have a question, and you guys can leave it in the comments if you're here on YouTube, but do you see yourself in Jehoash? Have you surrendered your life completely to God? How many arrows have you shot? Or are you stopping at 3? Or are you going to go all the way? So let me know what you guys think in the comments. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for liking. Thank you for commenting on my podcast. And I will see you all later. Bye.